And now it's time for more of Southern California's Sports Fishing Voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And by Yamaha Upwards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's Sports Fishing Voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app on Facebook and YouTube Live and 97.3 The Fan. Jeff standing by, having a great morning, and sure appreciate Jeff taking such good care of us on the fan side of things. Man, we're having a great show this morning. We got Captain Jake from The Fortune in the studio, along with Carl Schmidt from Fisherman's Landing. We're talking bluefin, talking offshore, inshore fishing. Just been a great show, lots going on, and we got another full hour of it here, Corey.
We do, and giving away an overnight trip on The Fortune, and how cool is that? And you, whatever way you want to use it, if it's an overnight trip, whatever open party trip's available, 2.5 day, 2 day. And we were just talking about, there's actually some, are they 2 day trips on the weekend coming up?
Yeah.
So for the month of May, leaving Friday?
Friday mornings.
Friday departure, 2 days.
Yep.
And super light loads, but with a couple more, they'll run, right?
Yep.
There it is.
That's the thing, too, this time of year is like, you said it at the very beginning, the best are those multi-day trips. You get multiple shots at them. You've got the time. If you need to run, you can run. If you need to sit on them, you can, and you get the lay of the land. Like, that two-day trip is such the ideal trip this time of year, and especially these ones that, Jake, you got going on. You said all of them, Carl, we're saying all of them have some reservation. I mean, very, very typical of early season. Right. They need a few to go, but all of them are in that, like, oh, just a couple of, it literally is going to take
two or three more guys.
Yeah, it takes a couple of guys, and boom, now all of a sudden you're on a trip that's got an extremely light load.
Yep.
That's a two-day over a weekend.
Correct, and it kind of ties back to what we were talking about earlier. Be a perfect opportunity if those big bluefin are around and you want to try that flying fish with the floating backpack on it or whatever. The light loads are perfect to fish those things, you know, if you want to try it. But, yeah, a couple more people, the next the 16th, I think I said, a couple more people will make those trips a go.
How cool is that?
I dig it, man.
How cool, right?
I'm in for sure.
So one lucky winner, I mean, could even take part of that, just upgrade. Upgrade from the overnight trip to a two-day, and away you go.
There it is.
All right.
Hey, with that said, we're going to continue on with our catch report. We got the man, the surf guru, Gundy Gunderson, is on the line right now. What up, Gundy?
Good morning, Gundy.
Well, looks like we might have lost Gundy, but we'll see if we can't get him back here. In the meantime, plenty going on, plenty busy, and if you want to get through this morning, give us a call on the phones. You want to participate, 833-288-0973. Again, 833-288-0973 is how you reach us on the fan. One more time, we'll see if we can't grab Gundy and get him up there. We got you there, Gundy? All right. Well, it looks like that might be part of our issue with the no audio from phone calls. But plenty of phone calls on this end, so why don't we jump back into those, Corey?
Let's do that. How about Carl? Carl calling from Escondido. Good morning, Carl.
What's up, Carl?
Hey, good morning, guys. I got a quick question, a couple of them. Do you guys tie your – I've never done night fishing, so do you tie your jig straight to the braid or do you use fluorocarbon? And what was the name of the rod that you were talking about earlier?
So I like to tie the – you need like a 200 to 300-pound bite leader is what we call them that are about 3 or 4 feet long, 2-3 feet long. It depends how long your rod is because you don't want the jig – you want to be able to hang your jig back on the rod or reel, you know. But I tie the Spectra straight to that is how I like to fish it. It's less drag going down, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then the rod you were talking about earlier, that heavier jigging rod.
Yeah, like there's some from 310 Rod Works and UC that makes some small ones that are stiff and good. Phoenix has a couple. Those Megalodons that are like that. Just go to the tackle shop and ask them. You know, they'll have some in there usually.
You know, they're one of those things you're starting to see factory wrapped versions of them a little more now. At the beginning of this cycle of those things coming into favor, they were only available in blanks. And Jake, I think you said it best. Several manufacturers that make nice ones, heavy ones, you know, like you're talking about, where we you know, we would take the blank and then wrap them, you know, into a complete factory style rod. But there's a half a dozen, and I think you said it best. Go into a tackle store, get with one of the guys, and explain what you're trying to do. You again, like Jake's, sounds like Jake's recommendation is you're looking for a rod to kill the fish more than anything else. And those rods have kind of everything. You can get a rod that's much softer, that's really designed to get a ton of action out of the lure.
Yes.
And then there's heavier ones that get some plenty great action, but also don't kill you when you're attached to a big one. And everything in between.
Yeah.
And the guy behind the counter should be able to walk you into whatever the right rig is that you're after.
Yes, yes, exactly.
And in terms of Jake's, go heavy.
Yeah, go heavy.
Go heavy.
Go heavy if you want it for tuna.
Yeah, I like that. Good call. Well, I appreciate it very much. We had another great text come through. Good morning, guys. Great show. Jake, can you give us a rundown on what the bunk situation is like on the Fortune? I'm a bigger guy and appreciate a bigger bunk. If we're booking on an open party trip, is there any opportunity for us to book our bunk ahead of time? That's from Derek in Lake Elsinore.
No, we do the bunks first come, first serve, like that. Just out of...
fairness to everybody.
Fairness to everybody, exactly. But the bottom outside bunks are big. They're like almost as twin size bed big, you know. But so the bottom outsides are all like that. There's two staterooms up forward.
Okay. For
guys that come together or whatever, you know. So two different staterooms up there. And then all the other bunks are standard bunks. They're a little bit bigger than your average bunk on some boats, you know.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
So if Derek wants one of those big double outside ones, just... come a little early, check in, get your bunk,
yeah.
Roll down to Point Loma Seafoods, get a squid sandwich and a gold one, and hang out and enjoy. But yeah, first come, first serve. So
yep.
if you got a particular one you love, get there early, get it done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I dig it. Why don't we jump back into those phones, Corey?
Let's do that. How about Matt? Matt calling from Camarillo. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning.
What's up, Matt?
Yeah, morning, quick Matt. Question. What are the meal packages you offer on 2 or 3 day trips? And how many can you sit inside the galley?
We can fit about 12 or 15 people inside the galley. And the meal packages we offer are 2-day trips, usually $90.
Yeah, then the 2.5-day trips and 3-day trips are included.
Yeah, the 2.5 and 3-day trips, the meals are included. And then that's just your standard breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack in between lunch and dinner there. He'll put some fruit and stuff out in the morning. And that's the food situation.
Yeah, perfect.
Man. And Jake, you coming from the Royal Star and that kind of a background, I'm sure the food scene is right up that long range style.
Kevin, he does a good job.
Yeah,
it's always pretty different too. He's not cooking the same thing every day, you know. So
it's awesome to see, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. How about we jump right back into those phone, Corey? Again, if you want to get your shot, it's 833-288-0973. Not only your chance to talk to Captain Jake, but also your chance to get to go fishing on board the Fortune.
I know it's something good right there. And Quinn Cone from Blossom Valley wants his chance to that. Good morning, Quinn.
What's up, Quinn?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for all the wonderful information. Hey, I'm intrigued by and I love the concept of the reverse overnight. But as I'm looking on the schedule, that looks like that ends around May 15th. And so my issue is it seems like the best bites are at nighttime. And if you want to fish till 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning with about, I'm guessing, a 6-hour ride in and out, something like that, why there's no boats that come in after 6 or 7 in the morning? Is it all about just the fish processing pickup? Or why couldn't we schedule some boat, hopefully the Fortune, that comes back a little later in the day? And I heard that sometimes it come in as late as 10, but it seems ideal to be a couple hours later.
The main reason would be is because a lot of the boats are leaving again early in the morning. You know, like Jake was saying earlier on his reverse overnight trips, they're scheduled to come in at 8 o'clock, but we give them 4-hour lead time. So if he does come in at 10 o'clock, but a lot of the other guys that are running day and a half and 2-day trips or the two and 3-day trips, they come in at 6 a.m., 7 a.m., and they're leaving again at 10 a.m. So they don't have a lot of lead time on that stuff. And some of it does have to do with processing for the guys that do have same-day service. If you got 6 or 7, 8, 9 boats coming in the morning and you got a ton of people doing same-day service, if you're coming in at 10, 11 o'clock, you can't accommodate all those. So it's a give and take on some of the stuff. But like on the reverse overnights, he does have 4 or 5 hours between those return times and departure times. So he does have that opportunity to fish till 3 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock, depending how far the fish are. You know, if the fish are 30 miles, I mean, he could fish almost all night, you know, and same with the guys that are on longer trips. But if that fish is 60 or 70 miles, they do have to get the boat back in, get the passengers off, the new passengers on, fuel dock, oil changes, restock the boat. So they do need some lead time to get the boat turned around and stuff like that. But that's the main reason, is just the lead time to get the older passengers off and get the new passengers on and stuff like that.
Yep, plenty of time to get the boat turned around, yeah. So it's in the level of professionalism that you're accustomed to.
Correct.
Got it. All right. Well, hey, appreciate that very much. Had another good text. Says, good morning, guys. Great show. Love hearing from local captains like Jake. Jake, my question, when you're fishing at night with your speed jigging rods, do you like to fish with the true jigging style with lots of lifts and drops while you're pumping and winding a jig, or is it all about getting down fast and getting bites on the fall? How do you deal with adverse conditions like wind and current? That's from Daniel in Santa Barbara.
So I like to drop it down, you know, and then come up jigging, but because you can come up just as fast as winding when you're jigging, like the speed jigging thing, you know. So drop it down to 350, you know, usually 90% of the time the fish are at 240 feet.
That's the spot where they like to live.
Every once in a while they're deeper, you know, so that's why I like to go a little deeper. You want to make sure you go through the fish and then come back up through them as well. But I'd say a good 80% of the time your bites are on the fall.
Okay.
You know, and I've gotten bit always. I've gotten bit winding up as fast as I can. I've gotten bit speed jigging. Speed jigging seems to work a little bit better on the way up, you know.
And when you say speed jigging, you're turning the handle fast and then also, like, listening some quick pumps or jerks on the rod while you're turning
the
handle.
I do it every turn. Like, on the bottom turn, I come up with my left hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then down with the turn and then up with my left hand. Like, every other turn is a jerk,
yep.
You know.
So, yeah. So it's like you're bringing the jig up, but at the same time you're letting it fall an inch or two or several inches. It's getting a little dance and a little
shooting. I mean, it really comes
from Shimano and the butterfly jigging system. Really, I mean, it's that scenario that comes from Asia, Japan, mm-hmm. and Shimano brought it to the U.S. like 20 plus years ago. I mean, it's taken off.
Yeah,
like,
no doubt.
It's the deal.
And when you had talked about the importance of having your jig falling and how true free fall, free spool, that kind of thing is, you know, when he had mentioned, how do you deal with adverse conditions? So what do you do when it's windy or there's a lot of current in terms of scope? Is it
you go up in jig size, get a heavier jig. That's typically the rule of thumb, is the heavier the wind, the heavier the jig.
Okay.
But I would imagine
the lighter the jig you get out, because you never want to be surfing your jig. We call it surfing. Once you get scoped out, you have no clue where you're at. You know, that's when I tell the people you got to wind it all the way up and drop it back down. I know it's a lot of work, but that's part of it.
Yeah.
Do you want to catch a fish or not?
And it is uncanny how many bites come when the jig is true vertical, straight up and down versus scoped out. They just don't seem to bite them when they're scoped out. I mean, it's the rarity.
Line drag as well. Mm-hmm. Line drag is holding your jig straight up and down even when it's falling. You know, it's not actually truly working how it's supposed to work.
And I'd imagine you don't want to start with the heaviest jig, right? Like, the lighter the jig and the better the fall, the better you're going to get bit. Like, by starting out with a heavier jig, even knowing, you know, that it's too heavy, Your bites won't come as... I mean, I'm just guessing.
Yeah,
I'm totally asking you, right? Like,
oh, that's how typically it works like that. I mean, the big jigs fall and flutter the same as they would a small jig. Like, with their rip rollers in every size, I feel like they all work the same in a way. But it comes down to the wind factor, you know? You want that jig to fall a little faster, get down to them when you actually stop before it gets scoped out. You need that heavier jig to do that.
I'm sure you've seen all ways. How about knowing, you know, you mentioned how important it was knowing where you're at, knowing you're at that 300 feet. Like, I'm sure seen everything, Sharpie marks, spectra marks, line bumps, colored spectra. What's the ticket in your eyes in terms of a guy managing, knowing his depth? You know, what do you like on the reel?
So what I like to do is I make a mark at 200 feet with two marks, and then 300 feet will be three marks. And you want them spaced out a good 8-9 inches. That way when it's flying through your rod, you can actually count how many marks are going out of the line, you know. And then all the way from 2 to 400 feet is what I mark.
Perfect.
Okay. That's a great
system.
Usually
with an acrylic. You can get those big acrylic markers.
Like paint pencil or paint pen thing.
Those seem to work the best, but you really got to let it dry.
That's a great tip. Yeah, because you don't want that.
Don't wind it on wet, because then you all of a sudden your whole spool.
Now everything's marked.
Right.
Colors everywhere. Yeah. Rick, for somebody getting into this, I mean, Jake mentioned two different sizes. Like, what do you see in the shop as far, like somebody listening and wanting to get a lighter and a little bit heavier? Like, what would be the two?
I think Jake's the better person to answer that, but maybe you can back me up. I think in general, first jig to buy is a 300-gram jig of your choice.
Like an all-around?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. That catches most things most of the time. An SK, a Rip Roller, a Nomad, a West Coast Jiggers, a whatever. You name it, a 300-gram would be the first thing I would get if I was kind of put my arsenal together. The second thing for me would be some form of eddy bomb, you know, a quick, fast sinking something else. The third one I would add would just be a big knife jig, whether it be a 400 or a 500 gram. And if you're a guy that's been a few years and you've already got an arsenal of those kind of things, and you've already bought your jigs and you have them and you're going again this year, they're expensive. But for me, I would add one of those tungsten heavy jigs.
Because they're carrying the weight, but yet in a smaller profile.
Yeah.
I mean, Jake will, you know, Jake is who should answer this, not the guy selling tackle, the guy that fishes with him. Because I say it all the time. I'm like super cautious. Like, I almost don't know how to handle that when you're selling them at the tackle store. Like, they're expensive, flat out. There's nothing other to say. Like, those 300-gram tungsten jigs, by the time you're done putting hooks and leaders on them, you're over $100.
Wow.
I just feel like it's my job to be very responsible and not, you know, I always say the same thing. You do not need to fish a $100 lure to catch a bluefin.
No.
You can catch one with a sinker and hooks on it, you know? So I never try to tell a guy, like, you have to have this thing. I don't want my guys ever selling a lure to somebody that's that expensive. With all that said, dude, they work so good. They just sink so fast, and they're small, and they're easy for those fish to eat. And it, like a 40-pounder eats them great, and they end up in the back of their throat, and you hook them really good. Yeah. But they're heavy, and they still pull line off of a reel. Just awesome. I think they fish so good, and I really do think they're worth the money. But you just have to be so cautious in how you offer that to somebody. Like, I never want a gentleman that's fishing from out of town that's not going with us all the time to feel pressured into buying a $100 lure. So you just have to be very tactful how you explain, you know, its effectiveness. Is it effective? Absolutely.
And there's a place for it.
Yeah,
I mean, there's
worth it? Probably.
Yeah.
But, man, it's a case-by-case thing. You know,
and these things, the jigs do go bye-bye. So
they do.
Something you want to expect to lose, you know. You got, it's like going to the casino, you know. You never know what's going to happen. You might win a bunch, you might lose some, you know.
That's it. I love them. I mean, do I think they're worth $100? I do. But, man, I'd be very cautious about it. Like, if a guy's never been before, the last thing I would ever do is, oh, you need to get a handful of these jigs. It's just not the case. You know,
but you
can do it with a torpedo sinker.
Yeah. But if you're at the rail with 20 other lines in the water or more, and you've got a leg up. I mean, I'd spend the extra $50 to do it, right?
I know one of the guys that works in the tackle store went fishing with Jake earlier this week, and you know, he had two fish on a 300-gram tungsten jig when it was scratchy fishing. You know, like, they just
got it done.
They work great,
yeah.
But again, like, that's my whole thing. Like, I get so cautious because I never want to feel like I'm overselling something to a guy.
But
they're expensive.
So somebody listening that, like, really wants to try to get into it, I mean, Jake, with a 300 and a 500, like Rick?
Yeah, I would go 3 and a 450, 500-gram jig, just like that.
Yeah.
Like Rick said, perfect. 300 grams, about the sweet spot there.
Yeah.
And talk to your captain and crew. I remember there was a time last season when Jake and his crew were coming up and getting Colt snipers. The fish were up shallow, and they wanted something small, and, you know, some of those things catch you by surprise, and, you know, we were used to selling big jigs, and him and all his guys were up buying Colt snipers, 120, 100, like, what's going on? Like, that's the thing, and, you know, if those guys are coming up and pulling money out of their wallets to buy jigs like that, you know, like, that's the one.
You can fish those at night, too, like those 250, Colt Snipers, 250-gram Colt Snipers, those work great at night as well, you know.
Just a lot of it, like Jake was saying, profile. Seems like more common than not that fish is down deep, but there are times when it's not. And sometimes if that fish is up relatively shallow and you're fishing a 500-gram jig, you just blow through it too fast.
Mm-hmm. That's great information. I mean, it really is,
for sure. I like that stuff there. Well, speaking of good info, we got the man standing by with the best info. Find out what's going on the water, and it's time for that FishDope.com report, Corey.
And it's brought to us by Fisherman's Processing in San Diego, where you get your premier processing experience. Check out the easier online system to book your processing for your long-range trips. And with more team members, Fisherman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. They have more same-day capacity and the finest customer service. Stop by the location in Old Town on Taylor Street, or you can check them out at fishmansprocessing.com and make your reservations today. And stoked to have Yousef Husseini on hold there, the angler's realtor. Good morning, Yousef.
What's up, Yousef?
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
We're doing great, buddy. Just riding out a little weather here, talking about good fishing last week, and hopefully getting a whole lot more of it here coming up.
Well, that's the story. There's a lot of weather today and yesterday. Danny was saying it's like blowing 20 to 30 out there, so not a lot of boats out last day or so. But prior to that, we had some really good sea bass fishing pretty much all over the Channel Islands. Rosa was a standout spot for sure. I guess it got really stupid up there. As well as Catalina was biting really good. Catalina is still biting good. Backside fishing continues to be really good.
That's so rad.
Some larger halibut and some really good size sea bass. As well, the boiler lock fishing on the backside for calicos is good. Bonitas still are on the front side. Then down into La Jolla, we're starting to see good signs of yellows popping up under the birds every evening and morning. Northwest corner is seeing the most action, kind of the normal deal. The barracuda have also come in. Not a lot of legal size stuff yet. They're pretty much just pencils, but hopefully the bigger ones will follow here soon. Bass action there over in La Jolla area also has picked up, as well as Point Loma. They are smaller bass, but they are in quantity, and they're starting to bite pretty good. San Diego Bay halibut bite continues back near Pepper Park. Down south of that, on the Ivy Pike, sand bass fishing is still decent. It slowed up a lot from what it was, but knocker leadhead set up and squid is doing pretty good. The islands is starting to bite finally. Some of the party boats and private boats have been catching 15 to 20 pound class fish, mostly coming on the yo-yo iron. Down south of that, Estero Bay has been pretty good for halibut fishing still. And then offshore, you guys all know the deal. It's been pretty good bluefin fishing, smaller fish out near the 157 area. Also got those jumbo bonitos still out in the 371-425 area. Most of the bluefin down south are in the 40 to 60 pound class, but we're also seeing 100 to 200 pound fish.
Jeez,
so that's it for the report today. A little longer, but we're getting some good fishing.
Oh, we'll take that. Halibut and sea bass up and down the coast, and good local fishing here in San Diego with the local yellow starting to happen, and bluefin down below. We'll take that just fine, man.
Yes, sir. It's coming.
Well, speaking of good news and things moving, how about the housing market? You always kind of keep us up to date on what's going on. How have things changed here in the last week or so?
Stuff is still moving. I have multiple escrows, everything. You know, I put one up, and within a couple of days, it goes pending. So it's moving. Things are starting to move. Rates are still decent. You know, we're running right in the sixes, and it's going. If anybody needs to buy or sell anything, give me a shout.
That's what I love it, man. Appreciate it very much. As always, Yousef, if somebody wants to keep in touch with you, everything that's going on with the Angler's Realtor, get yourself an eval for your home to know where you stand. What's all the good stuff? How do we find you?
You can get a home evaluation on my website at socalhomeeval.com. You can get me on my cell phone at 619-277-2169. You can also go onto my website, sportsmansrealty.com, and get me on social media at Cal Realty.
Awesome. Wow. Great job, as always, Yousef. Appreciate it. Thanks for keeping us up to date, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
No problem, guys. Take care. Have a great week.
You too, buddy. Appreciate that very much. Again, hey, just a quick reminder for those that are just joining us, audio from callers and the commercials only available on the app and on the fan today. So if you're joining us on YouTube or on Facebook Live, as so many people do, and we sure appreciate you taking the show in that way, audio will only be available that way. So you can put the audio up on the TV and kick the fan on the radio or kick off the Let's Talk Hookup app and listen that way, but watch from the stream.
I think they might have missed the fish reports and been wondering why we're so quiet, right, Rick? Exactly. So, yeah, go to 97.3 The Fan. Or, like Rick said, you always get it on the Let's Talk Hookup app and just having a great time. And that report was brought to us by Norsk Lithium, the ultimate choice for marine adventures. Norsk delivers unmatched starting, trolling, and electronics power. Norsk batteries are packed with cutting-edge technology. Upgrade your marine power today. Set up your system at norsklithium.com, or you can go see the trolling motor doctor in L.A. right there.
That's how it works, man. Yeah. Hey. Phones are packed up. If you want to get your chance to get through, talk to Jake and your chance to win a fishing trip, 833-288-0973 is how you do it. In the meantime, the phone lines are packed. We're going to jump back into the text. It says, hey, guys, I saw you have several of the reverse overnights coming up. Wondering if you could give us a little bit of rundown on how you like to set up your nighttime jigs, Jake. Do you like a heavy bite leader? Do you like hooks at the top or the bottom? Do you like treble hooks versus single hooks? What is your favorite style of setting up your night jigs? That's from Mike in San Juan Capistrano.
Hey, Mike. So I typically, you always have to have a bite leader, no matter what. Have a bite leader, unless you want to lose that $50, $100 jig like we were talking about.
And what size? What do you like for that?
Heavy. 200. Okay. Yeah. I usually like 200.
Perfect.
That's about enough, you know. 200 on the bite leader. And then I usually never have hooks on both sides of the jig. Always have hooks either on the top or the bottom. I typically like the bottom because they eat it when it's falling, and that way the hooks are kind of towards the center of the jig as it's sinking.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a good tip.
Yeah,
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And why do you not like on both sides of the jig?
It's very dangerous when you do get a fish on the deck. And then also, like with those longer jigs, that top hook will snag the fish in the side. Next thing you know, you're bringing the fish in sideways instead of by the mouth. You know, it ends up being a 40-pounder takes an hour to bring in, you know, because you're pulling it in sideways and backwards. And
it's one of those things that if it's happened to you, you know exactly what you're saying. If it hasn't, don't use a two hooks. Trust us.
And I'm sure for you as an operator, it can be a numbers and time and minutes thing. You know, if you're short stopping and you get onto a school and you hook two or three and you hook two or three and you hook two or three, and that's how you're making your night. Mm-hmm. If a fish that should be 15 or 20 minutes long takes an hour, which, I mean, that's very key. You take a 60-pounder and you put a hook in his mouth and another one in his pec fin and
you
try to wind him in sideways.
Yeah,
and
he feels like a 160.
And a guy's worried about not horsing too hard because it's his big fish and all those things. And, you know, you lose 40 minutes of time. That could be two stops. Yeah. And those two stops could equate to X number by that could be your night. You got to get in and get it done.
Have to capitalize on the time on the water type of deal. You know?
Yeah. You know, Carl, another thing I wanted to mention, and thank you very much for the text, Mike. We were talking about line and line marking. One thing that, you know, big hats off that we talked about a little yesterday, too, is the quality of rental tackle that you guys provide at Fisherman's Landing. And this bluefin era really changed how rental tackle was. You know, in the old days, it was always adequate, and it was always fine to go catch a fish. And then all of a sudden, we found ourselves in this cycle of fishing where you could go on an overnight trip on the Fortune and be looking at a potential 200-pound. You'd be looking at a cow on an overnight trip, you know, a reverse overnight.
Yep.
Tonight, Jake could easily go get a good school and have a 200-pounder. I mean, that's all in range. And so rental gear had to change from just being good enough to, well, good enough isn't good enough anymore. Yeah. And I know you guys made a very serious investment in CalStar rods, Talica reels.
Yep.
And you know, this whole thing was just about the Mark Spectra. Yep. And I know that you guys went all that route too and used, you know, depth indicated Spectra. It's really high end stuff.
Yeah. I mean, we definitely try to listen to the captains and the passengers and like the feedback and stuff. But yeah, I mean, obviously 3 years ago or so, like, we need something better to, like, for our guys that are not experienced, can't tell what the difference between 100 feet and 300 feet is. And so we switched all out the white Spectra. All the heavy outfits have now meter line by Power Pro. Changes color every 100 feet. So when Jake says, hey, the fish are 300 feet, let three colors go down or a little more so you get through the bite zone and you can work that jig or whatever. The guy that's never been fishing before or only been fishing once or twice knows exactly where their jig is and can feel confidence in, my jig is in the bite zone. I know where my jig is. I know I have a chance of getting bit.
Right, because if Jake tells you they're at 40 fathom, man, you got to be able to get there,
to
stay
know
there.
Where your jig is at.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're... You think I'm at 100 feet, but you're really at 400 feet or vice versa or whatever, and the fish are somewhere else.
You're out of the game.
You're out of the game.
Period.
Might be the most important part of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, like, you know, you have to know where you're at.
It
doesn't matter how expensive your tungsten jig is. If you're dangling it at 100 feet and all the fish are at 300, or what happens very easily, too, is, you know, a guy will think, okay, I'm probably down there, and it's three times too far down, you know, like you're thinking you got to get down to 300 feet. You're not realizing how fast you can get there. And a guy's hanging his jig and trying to jig up, and he's at 600 feet and below everything. Knowing where you're at is critical.
Correct.
And every rental piece of gear that is fit for that style of fishing, you know, has that, you know, Power Pro offshore depth changing line.
Yeah, and like, you know, if you go out there and you lose a jig and you lose 100 feet of Spectra or whatever, that reel comes in. Gets new Spectra on it. I mean, it's all hollow core, so we can splice it. But most likely, all that line's coming off the reel, putting brand new line on it. So
hundreds of dollars worth, man. Right?
Yeah. I mean,
but you can't not.
It's got to be that way.
I don't want a guy to come to Fisherman's Landing, hop on the Fortune. He just spent $500, $600, and then go out there and hook a fish of a lifetime, and the line to fail or whatever. It is.
It just isn't an option.
It's just not an option. These guys are spending their hard-earned money, and might be their first time. If they go out there and like, I rented this rod, I just spent $90 on it, hooks a 150-pound fish, lose it because something breaks. We lost that customer forever, you know, or they're going to go somewhere else.
But that's why you have it the way you have it. It's
exactly.
Not going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, we're going to be right back. You're listening to Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. More from Carl at Fisherman's Landing and Jake from The Fortune when we return on Let's Talk Hookup App. 97.3 The Fan, YouTube, and Facebook Live.
Everything about Katmai Lodge is first rate, and it should be on the bucket list of everyone who enjoys fishing. This is Brandon Bono. My visit to Katmai Lodge is an experience I will never forget. Constructed on the banks of the Alagnac River in Katmai National Park, the lodge is a fishing dream come true. The experience is incomparable. Whether bait casting, spin, or fly fishing, you'll find king, sockeye, chum, coho, and pink salmon, plus trout, grayling, char, and Dolly Varden. Their guides are amazing. Days are exciting and fun with hot lunches and snacks served on the river. The brown bears, bald eagles, beaver, otters, and other wildlife you see is amazing. The lodge staff is great. There's complimentary wine, beer, and appetizers before a fantastic dinner every evening. Take it from me, a trip to Katmai Lodge should be on your list. For information, visit katmai.com or call 1-800-330-0326. Once again, that's Katmai Lodge, KATMAI.com.
Here's the hot tip on the best fishing LA has to offer. 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. They are home to LA's finest open party fleet, including overnight on the Freedom, Catalina Freelance on the Pursuit, half-day trips on the Monte Carlo, and three-quarter day trips on the Sea Angler. For your own private charter, we have the Outrider and True Line available. There's always plenty of free parking and a fully stocked tackle store. 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. Call 310-832-8304 or on the web at 22ndstreet.com.
Hi, this is Christy Wheeler with Dawson & Associates Insurance, your full-service agency specializing in boat insurance, including charter, commercial, and personal-use boats, business insurance, and travel insurance. We work hard to get you the most coverage for the best prices and guarantee the lowest rates available on all the travel plans we offer. So give us a call today at Dawson & Associates Insurance at 619-460-5615 for a free quote today.
Take a closer look at the Ford Bronco and the Bronco Sport. You'll see adventure, discovery, and even a little mud. These 4x4s provide the muscle, tech, and durability to go anywhere. Get your ideal combination of power and capability to handle whatever comes your way. Whether it's taking something down to the launch ramp or going out in the desert, it's time to see Ford in a new light. Visit your San Diego County Ford dealers to check out the new Ford Bronco or Bronco Sport today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
You know, whether you're going fishing, diving, or just having fun on the water, there's nothing more worth doing than messing around in boats. So let me ask you, are you ready to upgrade your ride? Boat and Motor Mart of Oakland is your exclusive Western U.S. dealer for Steiger Craft. Created for inshore and offshore waters and laid out with the serious fishermen in mind, Steiger Craft has built a solid reputation for performance and excellent rough water handling. If adventure on the water is what you live for, now's the time to invest in your passion. Call Boat and Motor Mart of Oakland at 510-437-1444. To look at the whole fleet of Steiger Craft online, go to steigercraft.com. Now's the time for a rugged, reliable, and fast Steiger Craft from Boat and Motor Mart of Oakland.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and having so much fun in studio. I'm learning a lot from you, Jake, from the 4chan, and having Carl from Fisherman's Landing in studio. And, dude, we're giving away an overnight trip on the 4chan, which is super cool. Thank you, Jake. And the lucky caller or texter that wins that at the end of the show, we're going to have Jake flip this coin right there.
Prize coin.
Right, exactly. And you can upgrade that, do whatever you want on any open party trip available through Fisherman's Landing on the 4chan.
Yep.
Super cool, Jake. Thank you.
Yeah, we're pumped. We're pumped to go fishing with you. Well, hey, the phone lines are packed up. If you want to get your shot, still plenty of time to get you through. 833-288-0973. Jeff is standing by to take your phone calls. We got lots of great texts coming through. I know Corey's got one on deck as well. I was going to read this one, and it says, Captain Jake, do you ever have charters or charter groups that fill partially and then backfill with open party customers? Is there ever an opportunity to get on one of these trips, and how do we do so?
Every once in a while, there's one of those, but no, I wouldn't say very often at all. For the most part, the charters are the charters.
Mm-hmm.
Unless if a guy contacts me and he needs to fill some more spots to get the price down or whatever for his charter group, that's about the only time it ever happens.
And again, that's the beauty of chartering the 4chan, is most of your groups are those little bit more intimate, little bit lighter loads where it's a lot easier to fill, you know, 10 spots than it is to fill 40 spots.
Yeah, exactly. And if you do want to come out, we got a bunch of open party trips. Just feel free to hop on one of those with five or six of your buddies, and there you go. That's your own little mini trip, right?
You talked about these Friday departure 2 days that you have coming up, and all of them are kind of that way, where they all have several guys on them and just need a couple. What's an average amount? I know it kind of fluctuates with fuel and things like that, but what's an average kind of minimum load that it takes to get your 2 day open parties going?
I'd say about eight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's cool.
Right?
Can you imagine that? So yeah, if the trip's already got a few guys on it, you get, you know, four or five buds together. Like, that trip's going, and it damn near is your own private charter.
Yeah.
And having eight or nine guys on the boat's a 65-foot boat. Very comfortable. Eight guys, ten guys
big.
On it. That you have all the room in the world for you. You might as well be. It's like fishing the XL with 20 or 30 guys on there. It's just, you have so much room, very little tangles. You guys can, like, work together really well and stuff like that. So that's the nice thing about running with a light load or 8 or 10 guys on a boat like that.
Your boat has a history of good bluefin fishing. Even before bluefin was in vogue, you know, the 4chan has always been one of those bluefin killers. And I don't know if it's the hull, like Carl was talking about, or just that, you know, you're just another guy in the lineup of great operators that have been with that boat. But it's just got a lot of great things going for it. It holds a ton of bait. You know, I know that was an addition that was done to the boat in recent times, and your fish care is awesome. We haven't really talked much about that, and that's a question that's come up in several texts. What's kind of the rundown on how you guys handle the fish? Maybe give us, like, the rundown when fish comes up to color. How do you guys take over, and what do you do with the fish when they come aboard?
So we gill and gut everything. Everything that comes on the boat's pretty much gill and gutted. Always.
That's just your Royal Star background.
Yeah, that's it.
Yellowtail, tuna, doesn't matter.
No, not so much. It depends how the fishing.
None of the yellow end.
Yeah, not so much yellowtail.
Yeah.
Cause those,
but all in the tuna.
Yeah, all the tuna. Every tuna. It doesn't matter if it's 5 pounds or 200 pounds. We're gilling gutting
it. That's awesome, man.
That, a good rinse, too. You got to rinse them out really good. And then they go straight in our RSW that we keep pretty cold, 29, 30 degrees.
When you say a good rinse, is that the inside? Is it the outside? Is it both? And why?
You
what,
let the
what
blood
is that?
Flush out of the thing as okay. well. So, like, you bleed it, let it pump the blood out as for a couple minutes, and then you give it a good rinse for few minutes with the hose
and just
really flush the blood out.
That hose down that belly cavity and let everything blow out of there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you learn from one of the best, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's having
and
Tim.
Then, like, when they do cut our fish at the processor, they've said it's some of the best quality fish coming off my style of boat.
What else do you need to know?
I'll take that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good for you. How do you best bleed a bluefin when it comes on the boat? What do you like to do?
If they're small enough, I like to pop. Not cut a gill. Well, we cut a gill as well, but I like to pop from where the heart is up to the bottom, and it'll...
Like you kind of grab hold of the gill rakers, is that it?
And no, like inside
that membrane.
The membrane. Yeah,
got it.
Pop that and pull up, and it...
And
it
you do that...
It breaks every gill raker at once.
Do you do that just with your hand, with a knife, with a pair of shears?
You
How's
do
that,
that
done?
With your hand.
Okay.
But I'll the big ones will do it with a knife.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you're disconnecting the main line. So heart's pumping and getting everything out of that fish.
Mm-hmm. It's way more than just cutting one or two gills.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds kind of graphic, right? But it's the way it's got to be done.
Yeah.
And
it's the harvest, you know. It's
yeah, it is.
Do it right. It's sport.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It covers you in blood.
Yeah. I mean, I don't care if I'm keeping a bass or a halibut, a yellowtail or a tuna. I do that, or rockfish. I mean, it's...
Yeah, if you're going to do it, you do it right.
Absolutely.
And that's the right way to do
it. It's all about the harvest. And I just love the fact, Jake, that you've learned from the best on the Royal Star and learning fish care.
That was a big thing over there, too, is you always got to have the quality fish. That's what we're all out there to do, is get that quality product home to you guys.
Yeah, I mean, for all of us in this room and most of the passengers, it's a harvest. It's it's you're going out to harvest
Well, you go buy that bluefin at the store too. You're paying way more than a trip price would be.
Totally.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, when you step into Point Loma Seafoods and get your squid sandwich, or you know what I mean, you go enjoy your nice lunch. I love going down there, man. And
quality is worth paying for.
Dude, just look at the showcase.
Totally.
And as sport anglers, we can't put a price tag on it, right? But you can put.
You can draw a
value,
pretty
right?
Quick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right.
To see the quality or how the fish handling has come in the last 10, 15 years when we were all kids.
It's huge.
A fish might have got bled and stuck in a burlap sack
Maybe.
For 4 or 5, 6 hours or whatever. Now everything is bled, gutted, and straight into the fish hold. I mean, it's super rare to see a fish sitting on the deck for more than 30 minutes, depending on how good the fishing is. But to see the progression of... From the burlap sacks to taking your fish home, and it's just like you never think about like cutting that up and eating it raw and stuff. It was always grill it or make a tuna salad out of it or sandwiches. Now it's like, dude, you're getting the best fish you can ask for.
The best.
The best.
Yeah. We've talked a lot about it lately, especially with what our full-day fleet has been doing, both the Liberty at a Fisherman's Landing and the Bell in the San Diego, and like what a difference – fish handling is done for Bonita. You know, I mean, it was a fish that was
absolutely.
It was like, you know, you bring it home, maybe sits in a gunny sack and turns to mush all day. To just like, this has become people's favorite thing, and you know, you have one of those things that's properly taken care of, and then go home and make a sashimi spread. Like it is true grade A. Like, I mean, it's as good 100%. As anything you put on the plate.
100%.
The only reason, Rick, you don't see it. At Point Loma Seafoods, it's a commercially harvested fish, right? But the only reason you don't see it at Point Loma Seafoods or in any other high-grade market, it does not have a shelf life.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, it's
it
got
freeze well.
It's got 3 days, you know? And when you look at Big Eye or you look at Yellowfin or any of those other tunas, I mean, they're starting to get perfect at 3 days.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a great point.
Yeah. Totally. So that bonito that you're harvesting, that 8 to 10 and like the 18-pounder you weighed in?
That's crazy. Yeah.
Dude.
How was that? Yeah. That's a today and tomorrow fish. San Diego wrote a great little thing about it.
Okay.
You know, and they're enjoying your bonito. It's like it's a today and tomorrow, you know, sushi, poke bowl fish. The following day, it's a grill and make some of the best tuna sandwich you've ever had. Yeah. And that's about it. That's the shelf life of
it. And it truly is the best tuna fish salad sandwich material you'll ever have.
So
period.
Good. So good.
Yes.
I dig it, man. I'm in. Put me in, Cody. Yeah, Corey, right. Let's jump back in the phone.
Let's do it. Let's see what Ryan from Irvine thinks. Good morning, Ryan.
What's up, Ryan?
Good morning, gentlemen, and happy Sunday. My question for you, Captain, is what's the most common mistake that you've seen when you used to work on the long range and today, and what's the fix for that?
The most common mistake would have to go back to following their lines, you know? Tangling everybody up, that's when you end up in those big shows that you can't get control of, and that's when you end up losing too many fish, you know?
Is the mistake of not following more in the bait fishing part? Is it more when you have a fish attached? Is it following your jig when it's sinking? Where do you see the disconnect happen?
I see it mostly
happen?
When fish are attached.
Okay.
They get tunnel vision, and they don't see what's going on around everybody. You gotta look around and know your surroundings, communicate with each other, and all that stuff. You know, it really helps. Just a couple words really help.
Yeah. And knowing where you're at and anticipating what that fish is doing.
Yeah.
And also realizing that a little bit of angle in your line
is a lot.
It's a lot. Yes. That's a huge thing. You know, like, it's a little. And if a 40-pound tuna is going one direction, you need to go that direction. Yeah. You know, you can't, like, I'll drag him,
I'll bring him back
this way. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
When they got their mind going one direction, that's going to be a thing. You don't get to just hang out and.
But that's the widespread problem when I was long-range fishing and everything is, like, it's always about that. It's not about getting the bites. It's not about what hook, what line you're using. It's about when you get a fish on, can you get it to the boat, or are you going to create a giant catastrophe trying to do that, you know?
That's so well put. And I'd imagine great, the open man. Party trips, you have 20 people that are of different regions of the country, right? They're coming from everywhere, and they all meet up and are part of a team, but...
Yeah,
things can happen, right? But when you've got 20 people that are from a charter group, I mean, you got Jeff over here knuckling Tom. Like, come on, Tom, what are you doing? You know, like I'd imagine in the end that probably works out a little bit better.
Yeah,
you know?
It's one of the reasons the Fortune is so successful is because they do have those smaller groups.
Yeah,
Jake has a really good background. His crew is really good, and it's just easier to get 15 guys. Working together than it is getting 50 guys to work. It just is.
Yeah.
And it's one of the many reasons the Fortune seems to be so successful.
Very well put.
Hey, well, we had another great text come through. Fire this guy back up. Says, good morning, guys. Jake, do you do any trolling while you're driving around? I feel like I see less and less trolling happening on sports boats in the recent years. If you do, is it feathers? Is it swimming plugs? What's the best deal? Good luck on this season from Sean in Blossom Valley.
All right, Sean. We do some trolling, but not as much bluefin fishing, just because the fact that they don't bite it, and we're stopping so many times consistently, you know? Like, you see a breezer, and it pops up 150 yards from the boat. You need to react to it, like, quick.
And not be stopped by a troll.
And then half the time, the guys that have been on the troll, that are supposed to wind the troll rods in, don't. And then the crew's back there when they should be throwing bait, they're winding in the troll rod so everybody doesn't get stuck in the troll rod, you know. It comes down to that thing. But, like, later in the season when we're yellowfin fishing, of course we're trolling. You know, if there's albacore around, of course we'd be trolling.
Hello.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's...
For the bluefin fishing, the trolling's not feasible enough to do it all the time. If you want to put your troll rod out, go ahead. By all means. We're not going to...
Yeah,
and they ask is for if you put your troll rod out,
you wind it in.
That's right. All they ask.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty simple, but that doesn't always happen, right?
It does not happen very
often. And how many times have we seen that double skipjack troll stop turn into Rick's old enough? I mean the big eye or an albacore stop of 100 fish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was not caught on the sonar.
Yeah,
yeah. No, definitely good times for sure.
The thing is, you guys are so good at positioning the entire boat where you want it to be.
Yeah,
and you don't want to be...
Troll rods will definitely get in the way of that.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, one jig strike can be a good thing, but not necessarily if you're trying to get the whole boat over it and you get bait put on it.
Well, I can't wait, man. The albacore, yellowfin on the troll.
You like your clicker go off.
Yeah,
that is a fun part of it, especially when that yellowfin got, you know... we watched that big fish happen last year, that, yeah, that unbelievable yellowfin bite. Maybe crazy. One of the best in our history of sport fishing for just fish being that big and that consistent for that many days. It was so cool. And
it was so good. Much fun.
It was fun.
I wanted that fish to be in that 40-mile zone bad. It just flirted with it. But it never really did. Like, you had to be down there a ways. You had to be on one of those 2- and 3-day trips. Is that right, Jake?
Yeah, you had to be on a 2, 2.5, 3-day trip.
And did you guys get in a little bit of that action?
We did.
Oh, my God.
We did. We had some epic fishing.
Do you hear sign of that? I mean, do you see that possibly coming back up this year? Or like,
fish came from Guadalupe, honestly, because it's nobody's going to Guadalupe, and I'm sure that place is just absolutely jumped.
The Royal Star was just on an 8-day. It is May, or is April.
Okay.
And they had really good yellowfin fishing on that 40 to 80 pound yellowfin in May.
It's probably that same fish.
Same great fish. I would not be shocked if that fish moved.
Oh, please.
Back. And the fish on the ridge is a little smaller than that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this time of year, it's yellowtail down on the ridge. And there's yellowfin already down there. I'm hoping, and like that fishing down there was so much fun last year.
Oh my god!
It needs to get up here, and people would be stoked.
It was
two day on the Fortune for 40 to 80 pound yellowfins biting skip jigs and pop
100 last year. We had 102 pounder,
102 pound yellowfin.
Yeah,
that's
that's crazy. And they were the best table fare, man.
Oh my
by
god,
by far.
Everything about that was cool.
Well,
let's try to sneak another one in there, real quick, Corey.
Good morning, Hills.
Hey, Hills
from Ventura. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Couple quick questions for Jake. When you were on the Apollo, was J.J. Gerritsen still there? And then the other question is, can you compare fighting yellowfin big ones to bluefin big ones? And, what's the difference?
So I was on the Apollo when Jody owned it. I ran the Apollo when Jody owned it. Started right after Jody bought the boat. Then was there almost till the end. So that was... Marks about,
tenure.
Yeah, that marks about the time I was on the Apollo. And then big yellowfin, definitely 100% hands down fight harder than big bluefin.
Period. Look at that.
Yes.
Period.
They got, just look at the tail structure alone. A big yellowfin's tail is almost twice as big as a bluefin's tail.
Such a loaded question.
And they're different. And that in no means that a big bluefin doesn't fight hard. Yeah. They do for sure. Yeah. And they can be real unpredictable
at
color. You get a big yellowfin that's finished off, it's just a big flat pancake circle.
Yeah.
And until you can corkscrew them up and put a gaff in them, a bluefin will switch directions and switch back, and they're head shaking SOBs that drive you crazy. But there's no comparing. No comparing a big one to a big one.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean those bluefins don't fight hard, and there's not ones that kick everybody's butt, and their rod gets passed around from everybody, and they're super tough. But man, I'm with you. There's no doubt. Not between the
you
two
said
of them.
It perfectly.
But man, they drive you crazy. Yeah. Especially the way that we fish so often with a lot more spectra. So our jig sinks better, and a short piece of fluoro, and there's not a lot of stretch, and those things, they just flare their gill plates and shake their head, and
man,
they drive me crazy.
Get me so fired up.
But I like it.
Hey,
like it.
When we come back, we're going to find out who's won this overnight trip on the Fortune with Jake, and we're going to be right back on the Let's Talk a Kebab 97.3 The Fan YouTube and Facebook Live.
It's Rock Cod Rick for Adventure and Camping, where they bring the adventure to you. If you enjoyed camping in the Eastern Sierra but don't own an RV or a trailer or simply don't want the hassle, let Adventure and Camping park it for you. Check out their website, adventureandcamping.com. Select from over 75 campgrounds they serve. Decide on a trailer floor plan that fits your needs. Request a quote for your desired vacation dates. Then just show up and start your adventure. Adventure and Camping makes it so simple. They deliver the trailer to your spot and you enjoy a clean, spacious trailer. When it comes time to go home, just close the door and drive away. It doesn't get any easier. If you enjoy camping in the Eastern Sierra but don't want the hassle, Adventure and Camping is for you. Check out adventureandcamping.com for details. Make sure you mention that Rock Cod Rick sent you for a special price. Adventureandcamping.com.
Hey, it's time for the 30-second Power Pro Seminar. Here's a hot tip for those of us that like to fish with small reels or big fish. Fill your spools with Power Pro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard Power Pro. That means you're going to get more line on that small reel. Plus, you can fly line your bait more effectively. Here's another tip about Power Pro Max Quattro. Your casting distance will increase in addition to increasing your spool capacity. So downsize your tackle and use Power Pro Max Quattro. Check PowerPro.com for more information.
Hello, this is Captain Mike Totter from Surge of Sport Fishing. Alongside my colleague, Chef Josh Evans, and our dedicated team, we invite you to join us aboard the Searcher. Our fishing trips range from a day and a half to 8 days, available May through November, and include charter options. We're committed to upholding a legacy of top-notch customer service, delicious food, and a friendly and talented crew. Book your fishing adventure online at surgeofsportfishing.com or call Rachel at 619-226-2403. That's surgeofsportfishing.com. We look forward to welcoming you aboard.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels with the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities. Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short two-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
For local or long-range fishing, we have you covered. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. Being a part of the San Diego Sport Fishing Landing gives us a distinct advantage when it comes to getting you on the latest and hottest tackle for your trip. Our expert staff knows exactly what you need for your long-range or local trip, and we will not sell you something you don't need. We carry a huge inventory of the right tackle. So visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. Our hardworking crew will make your fishing experience one to remember. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet is second to none. All our open party trips can be easily booked online at fishermanslanding.com or give us a call. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. We're going to have Jake flip the coin. Go ahead and flip it on the deck.
Find
here.
Out who's going fishing,
right?
On the Fortune.
We're going to find out who's won the overnight trip. Hey, it's a texter. And today that happens to be Jay. Jay in San Diego. Congratulations.
Jay, you are stoked going fishing with Captain Jake. Well, man, if somebody wants to get in on what's going on right now, like you say, we got just today's worth of weather to get by. It's supposed to be done this afternoon, and then we've got a really nice week of weather shaping up. Jake, if somebody wants to do one of these reverse overnights that you got going on, or I still think the best deal in town, you talked about those two-day Friday departure trips. How do we keep in touch with what's going on with Fortune?
Yeah, just get on the Fisherman's Landing website, and our whole schedule for the whole year actually is up there right now already. With those two-day trips, that's ample time to go out there and figure out where everything's at, stay on them in the daytime, also do some yellowtail kelp fishing, you know, keep looking around, and then you get that that next night as well. So
that's it.
Heck with that, I want to charter the boat, man. I want to pick my own group.
And we call Fisherman's Landing to get that done?
Yes, exactly. And then also those reverse overnights, if we can keep them going, we'll keep them going for few more weeks here.
I love it. Well, hey, we'll appreciate it, guys. Great job. We'll look forward to hearing more. We'll look forward to having you next week and next Saturday, Captain Ryan Boston of the San Diego. Next Sunday, Bob Who's from Costa. Going to be a couple of great shows. Appreciate you listening. We'll talk to you next week on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook and YouTube Live, and 97.3 The Fan.